This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And I'm broadcasting today from our affiliate station, WLRN, in South Florida, a community very concerned about the developments in the Middle East, as people are around the world. And that's where we begin this morning. Is the situation in Israel and Gaza at a crossroads right now? Is Israel poised for a land invasion of Gaza once again? And are militants in Gaza poised to fire longer-range rockets into Tel Aviv itself? Since the fighting began, at least 20 Palestinians and three Israelis have been killed. The Israeli army has begun an initial draft of 16,000 reservists. Natan Sachs follows Israeli foreign and domestic policy at the Saban Center for Middle East Policy at the Brookings Institution in Washington, D.C. Natan Sachs, welcome to the show.
Hi, good to be with you.
Two things. First, how would you characterize the mobilization of Israel at this point, and what of the tactics of militants in Gaza do you find most alarming at this point?
Israel is preparing for the possibility of even a ground invasion, and the call-up of reserves, thousands of reserves, is clearly a preparation for that. But the decision to launch a ground operation has not been made yet. Israel would prefer to stop at this point. It scored a tactical victory from its point of view in the killing of the head of the Hamas military wing at the beginning of this operation, and also in the destruction of most of Hamas's medium range and longer range missiles known as Fajr missiles. Those are the ones that can hit Tel Aviv. But on the Hamas side, we've already seen attacks this morning, missiles that hit Tel Aviv. They did not cause casualties there, but sirens were heard again in Tel Aviv today. And we're seeing an ability by Hamas to fire many rockets, hundreds of rockets, into Israel, mostly short-range rockets, but now we're also seeing longer-range ones.
But doesn't the timing of this escalation and the campaign against the Hamas leadership that you just referred to play into arguments like these? Here's Mustafa Barghouti, who's a member of the Palestinian National Legislative Council, who says the escalation in Gaza must be stopped and is political in nature. Listen.
This Israeli government has escalated the situation purposefully, and we think that Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, is using Palestinian and Israeli blood for his election campaign. We had a truce. The truce could have been confirmed on the 12th by the Egyptians, and the Israelis broke it.
What do you make of that argument, and does it find resonance there in Israel and among the Palestinians?
It certainly finds resonance among Palestinians. Among Israelis, it finds little resonance. And the reason is that in recent months, the world press has not paid all that much attention, but Israelis have focused very strongly on the rocket fire on Israel. Today we heard about Tel Aviv, but in truth, many towns and cities nearer to Gaza have been suffering rocket attacks for weeks. And the Israeli press and the Israeli public pay a lot of attention to it. It's worth remembering, Israel is a very small country, and this was actually a significant proportion of the population that was under fire. The ceasefire, Israel broke what seemed to be a short-term ceasefire brokered by the Egyptians. It did so mostly because it evaluated that Hamas had changed its tactic since 4 years ago. 4 years ago was the main previous involvement when Israel invaded the Gaza Strip. It was called Cast Lead in Israel. And after that, Hamas largely refrained from firing rockets itself. Other groups, such as the Islamic Jihad and other factions, did this, but Hamas either stayed aside or sometimes even stopped them from doing it to keep the kind of deterrence that existed between Israel and Hamas. That has changed recently. Hamas was arming itself and getting involved itself directly in firing rockets at Israel. This is what caused the fundamental change. Excuse me.
But couldn't the argument also be made, Natan Sachs from the Brookings Institution, couldn't the argument be made that this is an example of Israel not being able to take advantage of the changes in the Arab Spring on the Egyptian side and the turmoil in Syria, in that this has really come to Israel when, in fact, over the last 2 years, the Israelis had an opportunity to really take direct action on the peace process?
Well, the Israelis saw it actually as a time of deep instability where moving on the peace process was difficult. But the Hamas question is a very good one. Hamas has undergone deep changes in recent times, mostly because of the regional changes. Hamas was previously affiliated mostly with Iran, Syria, and Hezbollah. And now, when Egypt is, of course, very different than it was even 4 years ago, the president is himself from the Muslim Brotherhood, which is the parent organization of Hamas, and Syria is in the throes of a civil war, where the regime is, in fact, fighting many forces, mostly Sunni forces, just like the Brotherhood and like Hamas, and the Islamic organizations are mostly in the opposition. And so Hamas had broken or was in the process of breaking with the axis of Iran, Syria, and Hezbollah. And in fact, the Hamas headquarters had left Damascus and were moving elsewhere. We saw Hamas getting closer to Egypt and also to Qatar. The Emir of Qatar had visited Gaza in what was a major diplomatic step for Hamas. From the Israeli perspective, there were so many moving parts that they focused, right or wrong, on the tactical deterrence between them and Hamas in Gaza. But strategically, this could be quite dangerous in terms of relations between Israel and Egypt.
Well, certainly the deterrence has broken down at this point. Natan Sachs, thank you very much.
Thank you. My pleasure.